It's time for the ETF Spotlight, where each week we highlight one exchange-traded fund. There are thousands of ETFs available to invest in. ETF Prime has sorted through them all, so you don't have to.
The ETF we're spotlighting this week is the Barron's 400 ETF, ticker symbol BFOR. And joining us via phone from Miami is Carlos Diaz, CEO and founder of Market Grader. Market Grader developed the index behind this ETF. Carlos, great having you back on the show.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having me.
Carlos, I always like to start with the backstory on this ETF. I know the index was featured on the cover of Barron's back in, I think, 2007. Your partnership with Barron's goes back even further than that. Can you tell a story on how you first connected with Barron's and then what ultimately led to the index and the ETF itself?
Yeah, sure thing. So MarketGrader had been rating companies fundamentally since the early 2000s. That's the core of our business. Company ratings on fundamentals, mostly U.S. companies back then. Somebody at the Wall Street Journal knew about MarketGrader and liked what MarketGrader did, so he reached out and introduced us to Barron's, suggested that we give those guys a presentation of what MarketGrader did. At the time, Barron's was looking for a tool that looked at companies from a fundamental perspective using quantitative analysis, which is what we do. So we did so, and they decided to launch a tool within Barron's.com called Stock Grader that meant to give their clients a quantitative view of the companies they followed, obviously from a qualitative point of view. So that was the beginning of the relationship. We started to complement what they did on the qualitative side with our quantitative analysis. And then that led to the creation of the Barron's 400. They wanted to have an index that was broad enough to compete against the major indexes, but that focused on the company selection based on those fundamentals. So that was the genesis of the Barron's 400.
All right, so let's talk more about the index. This obviously tracks around 400 companies. Walk us through some of the details here. How are companies selected? How are they weighted? What does the overall process look like?
Right, so the first thing that's important to understand is how we rate the companies. So we rate all companies, like I said before, based on purely company fundamentals. So we have a GARP methodology. We look at companies that have strong growth and value attributes, so growth at a reasonable price. And we also have a lot of indicators that look at quality. So we actually have 24 indicators, 6 in growth, 6 in value, 6 in profitability, and 6 in cash flow. We're trying to basically understand how the company is doing and how well their business is going. And then the top companies, the top 400 companies in our rating system, according to all these metrics, get selected twice a year into the Barron's 400. They're equally weighted, and we cap the exposure by sector at 20%.
And what's the starting universe of stocks that you look at?
We look at all U.S. domiciled companies that are listed on U.S. exchanges. So it comes down to about 3,800 or 3,900 companies.
You mentioned the holdings in this index are equally weighted. Why is that? And I guess along with that, do you see any particular shortcomings with market cap weighting, something like the S&P 500?
Yeah, so we think that someone that owns something like the S&P 500 is taking a relatively active bet, although people might not agree with this. They're taking an active bet on large caps. You know, the S&P 500 is pretty large, accounts for the lion's share of the market cap in U.S. equities, so there's nothing wrong with holding that. But when you do so in the proportion that the stocks are weighted in the index, then you overexpose yourself to very large companies, which can have poor consequence for investors when there's a turnaround in those companies. You know, early 2000s was obviously the best example. So one of the reasons we wanted to equal weight was that we wanted to break that link between size and weight. But I would say that most importantly, we wanted to give all the companies in the index an equal opportunity to contribute to performance, regardless of size. So we feel strongly about how good these companies are in their own businesses. So we want to give them all an opportunity to contribute to the performance of the index.
You mentioned looking at indicators across growth, value, profitability, cash flow. I'm curious on your value screen, what metrics are you looking at? Because there's been a lot of talk recently that traditional value metrics, so something like price to book, they may be outdated, right? Not looking at intangible assets like the value of a company's brand. How do you approach the value factor?
So we actually look at six indicators within value. We measure each stock individually according to actually traditional valuation metrics. So we look at price to book, like you said, actually price to intangible book, or I should say tangible book, where we strip out intangible assets. We look at price to sales, price to cash flow, and we definitely look at price to earnings, but we do that a little bit differently. We have a formula where we plug in the company's EPS growth rates over the long run, where we emphasize most recent earnings growth. And then we look at what we call the optimum PE, what the PE for that company should be based on that growth rate, and then we compare that to the actual forward PE for the stock. So we don't grade the PE on an absolute scale where we say if it's, you know, 25 times earnings, it's too expensive, or 10 times earnings, it's inexpensive. It's relative to how well the company's doing and how well they're growing and whether they're growing profitably. So to your earlier point about whether growth value's out of fashion, I think it makes sense for people to feel that way now because value has done poorly as a factor for the better part of the last decade. We've been on a long bull market where large cap growth has been hard to beat. But every time this happens, people start to say, oh, this time is different and certain things like value don't matter anymore, until they do. And so we believe that a combination of both is actually important. So we always try to straddle companies, or we always try to find companies that straddle good factors within growth and value.
Well, and sort of on that note, I saw that this index just underwent a rebalance. We have a few minutes left here. I know this rebalances every 6 months on the third Friday of September, third Friday of March. Any noteworthy changes at the last rebalance?
Yeah, I think the most notable thing has been the strength of financials. We've had actually a record run for financials as a proportion of the index. This is actually the 10th straight rebalance, the 10th straight semi-annual rebalance in which financials have been capped at 20%, which goes to show how well the U.S. economy is doing. We think, obviously, financials are highly cyclical and they're highly exposed to the underlying U.S. economy. So the fact that they continue to do really well, that it shows in their fundamentals, speaks volumes about how well the U.S. is doing across the board. So that's one notable thing. We had seven steel companies selected to the index, which, you know, out of 400 might not seem like a lot, but I think it goes to show some of the consequences of the administration's steel tariffs and how well that has or how good that has been for U.S. steel companies. So there's only about 16 publicly traded U.S. Steel companies. We only have 8 out of those rated buy, and out of those, you know, 7 were selected to the index. So it goes to show how well that space is doing.
Carlos, I know you manage the index, but how do you see this investment approach fitting in a portfolio? Because it does have significant mid and small cap exposure, right? So it's not all large cap like an S&P 500 fund. Where does this fit in a portfolio?
Right. So it's a pretty good blend between the three. Like you said, I think it has mostly mid caps. So about 55% or so of the exposure historically has been to mid caps, and about 25 or so to large caps. So we think it should be a core holding. But granted, a lot of people won't feel comfortable with having something that has, you know, mid and small companies as a core holding, especially if it's equally weighted, which makes it a little bit more volatile. So number one, I would say it's a core holding for U.S. equities. Because it does very well over the long run. But for those that don't feel comfortable with a core holding that is multi-cap and equally weighted, it could complement a large-cap holding. So it could be their mid-cap allocation or their mid-cap growth allocation.
All right, and then lastly, we have about a minute left. I know the management fee on the ETF is currently 66 basis points. And again, I know you're focused on the index itself, but obviously you're very plugged into what's occurring in the ETF space. Any thoughts on what we're seeing around fees and fee compression? How big of a role should cost play?
So I think cost should be something that investors should always be mindful of, but it should not be the primary criteria by which they select an ETF or any investment, in our opinion. So in case of ETFs, I think the quality of the underlying basket and the exposure that they're getting or they're looking for and how well that ETF fits that exposure is the most important thing. So I always like to say that, and I'm not the only one, you know, the you need to distinguish between cost and value. You know, cost or price is what you pay, but value is what you get. So it's important to understand what you're getting in exchange for what you're paying. So, I think it's important to keep in mind what goes into the ETF and what process goes into building that ETF.
Well, Carlos, we'll have to leave it there. Always appreciate you joining us. Thank you very much.
You too, Nate. Thank you.
That was Carlos Diaz, CEO and founder of Market Grader. The ETF is the Barron's 400 ETF. And you can learn more about the index behind this ETF by visiting marketgrader.com.